Next item on the agenda is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, 10-1216. Mr. Stagg. Y'all safe trip back. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Have a good day. Good morning.
This is a project proposed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They are requesting authorization to install approximately 504 linear feet of a 4-foot wide elevated boardwalk that would be over both tidal and non-tidal wetlands. Also to construct a 17-foot octagonal observation deck with a 6-foot by 4-foot connecting ramp to the boardwalk. And to construct an 8-foot by 12-foot floating canoe launch platform with a 4-foot by 12-foot connection to the boardwalk. All of this is within and adjacent to an unnamed creek tributary to the James River at the Presque Isle National Wildlife Refuge in Chesterfield County. A tidal wetlands permit is required. Chesterfield has not adopted the wetlands ordinance, so you'd be acting as a wetlands board, as well as a submerged lands permit for the portion of the canoe ramp that will be extending channelward of mean low water. Presque Isle Wildlife National Refuge is located on Presque Isle Island, which is shown here on the topographic map. This is Presque Isle Island, which was created, I believe, in the 50s by a cut-through channel that was installed by the Army Corps for shipping traffic that comes up to Richmond to bypass this area, which was and remains very shallow, and they maintain a deep channel through here. So there's a limited amount of boat traffic in here, some fishing, but all the major shipping traffic goes up and on up to Richmond. The only access to this is by boat. There is a old cable access from land over to the island that sporadically works and sporadically is out of service. There's also a pier on this side of the island that Fish and Wildlife uses to bring groups over to the island. The creek that we're talking about is this little portion of this creek here. It does eventually empty back out into the James here. It also connects to another creek in this area that comes out to the James. This is a mixture of tidal and non-tidal wetlands. This is upland. There's actually fields here. They grow crops to enhance the wildlife habitat here. There are some structures. They keep equipment over here to maintain that. There is some limited hunting, and they allow groups like Girl Scout and Boy Scout to come over and spend time on the island. It is a 1,329-acre refuge. It's about 20 miles south of Richmond, and it was established originally as a habitat for wintering waterfowl and other migratory birds. It is a component of a network of refuges on and around the Chesapeake Bay, which is, of course, our nation's largest estuary. The refuge is home to nesting and roosting bald eagles and is primarily comprised of hardwood swamp with a fringe of marsh and 300 acres of upland fields. As I noted, there are two tidal creeks that meander through the island. The proposed boardwalk and observation deck and floating canoe launch are proposed to provide access to visitors participating in public use activities within the refuge, both from the upland and by non-motorized watercraft within one of the tidal creeks. This is the photograph. Again, you can see the area that is maintained as farm fields and meadows areas for wildlife. Again, this is the hardwood upland non-tidal swamp and then tidal marsh areas that run adjacent to the actual creeks. And the access is from upland here across and to a pier located in this location. This is the best we could get with the picture they sent us, but again, here's your island in the inset. This is the blown up area here. The walkway would start once you enter this wooded area and it turns more into a marsh, and will meander its way through the marshy area down to, this is the creek, this darker area. This is your octagonal observation platform, and then your extension here to the canoe launch within the creek. You'll find in your packet, I've got only two slides here, but under your subsection 2, there's information about the type of boardwalk system they plan to use. It's called Whitcraft. It's manufactured up in the Great Lakes States area and is used apparently up there extensively. Fish and Wildlife has investigated this and believes this is one of the better methods to use in this type of environment. As you can see in the, some of the more detailed pictures in your packet, it's basically an aluminum framework type thing that, that comes and can be folded out. It has adjustable feet that have platform bottoms that sit on the marsh that does not require pilings to be driven into the marsh. And the elevation can be raised and lowered to some degree. Basically, then it's decked with regular decking. And you can see some detailed pictures of what the walkway would look like in your packet as it meanders through a marsh. It would be very similar here. These are ground shots taken a couple months ago. This is the creek where the canoe landing would be. It would be generally in this area right here. This was at low tide, obviously. You can see the mudflat bank. And this is tidal wetlands in this area. This is the Upper James, so it's more of a freshwater tidal habitat. That was looking upstream. This is looking downstream. Again, the canoe launch would be here. I think they do plan to try to remove some of these snags to have better access for canoe traffic. This is just sort of a typical shot looking back from where the canoe launch would be. And basically the plan is to just meander this walkway through this this swamp area. They do not plan to cut trees. They plan, as you can see in the Whitcraft literature, this thing can have bends in it. So they will just snake it around the trees. I believe they plan to do some interpretive signage along for the types of vegetation that, that grow in the area. As I noted earlier, since Chesterfield County has not adopted the Wetlands Ordinance, you will be acting as both the Wetlands Board for the tidal wetland impacts and obviously as the Board for the Subaqueous Lands Permit that's also required. Again, as I noted, they're going to use a galvanized system of boardwalk. Agencies that have commented on the project, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, in their report dated September 14th of this year, stated that there will be shading impacts from the boardwalk structure. However, they also note there does not appear to be any alternative location for access to the creek without traversing over both non-tidal and tidal wetlands. They did recommend the boardwalk be elevated to at least 3 feet above the substrate, minimizing shading impacts. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries also commented back in August and noted the presence of bald eagle nests in the immediate area, but they did not anticipate the construction of the project would be adverse to those nests. Additionally, they state that non-motorized recreation and human entry to the area should be evaluated directly with BDGIF and that any in-stream work be avoided during the time of year restriction from February 15th through June the 30th to minimize impacts to anadromous fish. Fish and Wildlife has been notified and will coordinate directly with Game and Inland related to the human entry. The Department of Historic Resources commented in September and stated that the project will be reviewed pursuant to Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act, and they would also coordinate directly with Fish and Wildlife Service. In my summary and recommendation, this refuge, which was established in 1953 to provide wintering habitat for wintering geese, wood ducks, devourers, and other migratory birds, and is further charged with providing opportunities for compatible wildlife-dependent public uses. Therefore, staff believes the proposed construction of the boardwalk, observation platform, and the canoe launch will provide for this additional public access to riverine environments and provide both migratory bird education and the opportunity to provide educational information concerning both non-tidal and tidal wetlands, habitat, and vegetation while minimizing any adverse impacts to those same environments to the greatest extent possible. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205, subsection A, and 28.2.1302, subaqueous in the wetlands sections of the Code of Virginia, we recommend approval with a permit condition that the boardwalk clearance above the substrate be as high as practicable with the system being used, up to a height of 3 feet if possible, with the system. Since the project provides for public access and is on federally owned lands, we believe no royalty is required. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Stagg or members of the commission? Mr. Tankard.
In the VIMS report, it states something along the lines of the width of the boardwalk and the height corresponding, so the shading is limited. Does your recommendation correspond to that VIMS recommendation?
The boardwalk is relatively narrow, and I did discuss this with Fish and Wildlife because there was some discussion about whether this would be handicapped accessible. And they have indicated that they wanted to stay with the minimum height, minimum width. So I think this is about the minimum width you could expect to see. It actually is probably narrower than we would typically see for a public use access type structure. And I'm not sure with this system whether it can actually be raised all the way to 3 feet, but Fish and Wildlife is certainly willing to raise it to the maximum extent possible with the system. So the shading will be minimized to the greatest extent.
All right. Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is U.S. Fish and Wildlife here represented?
I do not believe they are. I'm sort of surprised they were notified. This was postponed from last month due to a public notice. We didn't quite have enough time
to send them a notice. Well, is anyone here in opposition to the project?
We received no
concern, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. James.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Should you raise your right hand this time? Should you solemnly swear the testimony you give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name for the record, please, sir.
My name is Ellis W. James, and my address is 2021 Ken Lake Place in the city of Norfolk.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you here.
As you know, I am a Sierra Club observer, but I need to tell you one other thing in relationship to my concern about certain aspects of this project. For a number of years, I have kept journals on bald eagles in the botanical gardens in Norfolk. So I do have some experience, although I am not an expert. One of the things that I was listening for in the presentation was whether Mr. Stagg would address the question of how to ascertain the work schedules and so on. Bald eagles usually return to the Hampton Roads area and our area, this part of the eastern part of Virginia, about mid to late November sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
With the climate change and the zones changing, those things are beginning to move a little bit. But the activity becomes intense in December. And then you have the major mating events that take place, which are so crucial to the issue of whether or not the active nest will then produce young. In the botanical gardens, we have been blessed with a very, very unique situation. We have had most years 3 eggs laid and 3 live births successfully and the eagles fledging successfully, which is quite a show.
Get to see them,
the least.
Get to see them regularly.
I get writer's cramp sometimes. I am concerned about the question of, and I philosophically am not opposed to the project. I understand what they're trying to accomplish here, but I think it's going to be critical, especially if there's more than one nest in the general area of the refuge itself. And I don't know the numbers on that part of the equation.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be extremely important that we have at least a good handle on what is involved because of the criticality. Although the bald eagles are now beginning to recover dramatically all over the Commonwealth, I think it is important that we pay close attention to that.
Okay. I presume that this would cover it. The one statement that indicates additionally, they state, the DGIF, Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, that non-motorized recreation and human entry to the area should be evaluated directly with DGIF staff, and that any in-stream work be avoided during a time period from February 15th to June 30th. I think that's a two-step process. I think the in-stream activity that deals with the fish are specifically from February 15th to June 30th, but any movement throughout there is going to have to be coordinated by the experts that deal with the eagles at Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. So I'm thinking that that permit condition in there would allow you especially to interact with DGIF with your specific concerns based on your knowledge of the eagles and the time frame involved, and that they should be sensitive to movement in and out of that area during the time that the eagles may be active. So I'm thinking maybe that helps a little bit.
Yes, I think it does. And I just wanted to make sure that it was a focus of our attention.
I think it's focused, no doubt about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. James. I appreciate it. Anyone else here wish to speak? Mr. Stagg, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I suggest from staff's perspective,
okay,
you'd like a permit condition in the permit. I mean, Fish and Wildlife has agreed to work with BDGI, but we'll certainly make that a permit condition. I did not put the anadromous fish permit condition in there either, because really this is the head of a tidal creek.
I was going to bring that up based on the pictures
really
that I saw.
Sure, it's going to have any real impact with anadromous fish migration. We could certainly put that permit condition in as well, or make it a combined condition that
I'm not.
Fish and Wildlife coordinate the construction directly with BDGIF.
We know from dealing with our partners at DGIF from time to time that trigger comes in regardless of the water body or the water body condition. That's normally what happens at time of year restriction, and they're applying
Fish
that.
Fish and Wildlife acknowledge in their application that they pretty much acknowledge that they probably would not be working during.
Well, that's fine. I think to satisfy the concerns, and I have concerns too based on. Learning something new every day pertaining to the migratory patterns of the bald eagle that they, I think whoever makes the motion may want to consider that or put that in the permit. Anyone else here in opposition to the project? If not, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Lane.
I think if anybody in the world is concerned with the habitat necessary for bald eagles, be the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, and I think they'll probably take care of that. I would move that the project be approved in accord with the staff recommendations, specifically a condition that the clearance above the substrate be as high as practical, up to 3 feet.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for the presentation.